You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, what's up out there in La La Land? Listen, I just want to say hello to everybody. Welcome to 15 Minutes, the show on LA Talk Radio platform. Okay, so the Trumpster is back in office. Quincy Jones passed away. What is it that I can say about everything? All I can say to you is that there is a big planet out there, a big world, and there is nothing we can do about what's going on the outside. All we can do is control what's on the inside, baby cake. So don't let things depress you, get to you. If you voted for the Trumpster, then I'm happy your candidate won. If you didn't, then, you know, take it in stride. Take it as whatever happened. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And roll with it, babykin. So anyway, let's go. Guest. Da-da-da-da-da. You know I always like to bring you lovely, entertaining people. This woman, I cannot say enough about her. She's a multi-instrumentalist. I mean violin, bass, piano. You know, the girl's a vocalist. She can, you know, compose. She's a voiceover artist. Graduate of Fisk University. She has an MFA in jazz from Howard University. And what more can I say? Drum roll. She is now the composer and musical director for the Play the Piano Lesson, Maritri Garrett. Come on, Maritri. Hey.
Hey, Osiris. How you doing?
I am good. What's happening with you?
I'm good. I'm in Tennessee. I'm actually going to be at Fisk University tonight. It wound up being homecoming. Oh, we were celebrating Frankie Beverly, and he couldn't do the whole thing. And so, you know, then he, of course, transitioned, but now we're still celebrating him tonight. So that's why I'm here. But it just happens to be homecoming, too. Wow. So, you know, I'm here hanging out.
So you were there hanging out. And every time I hear Tennessee, all I can hear is Tennessee. Tennessee.
Right.
That song. I know. I always think of that, too.
Right. Exactly.
So let's get into it. So, wow. One of the first things I want to say is that when you get up in the morning, do you get up, walk around in your royal ether status, go to the mirror and say, look, you fine ass creature, you, what we going to do today? Because we can do just anything. We can either, you want to play piano, you want to write some music, what you want to do. What is your creative process on a daily basis?
On a daily basis? Well, so during the pandemic, it has shifted. That's what I will say.
Okay.
During the pandemic, I was playing 5 days a week for an hour on Facebook Live, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
Uh-huh.
And so my process was getting up, I go for a walk. You know, I live in the foothills, so I go for a walk, pull my list together of what I'm going to do. I, you know, at that time I wasn't doing anything, but I was just working from home. So now I work at a hospital as well, and I do musical therapy. So I'm in the emergency room, I'm in the lobby, I'm in labor and delivery. So I'm everywhere. But I still get to play, right? So I'm playing a lot more than I used to play. And also, now that I'm back to work and figuring things out again, I'm doing more writing, and because I'm a writer as well. And music, I write. I also, you know, secretly write poetry and that sort of things. And there's a book churning in there too. So I'm trying to get back into being really just really focused, mm-hmm. and having, because at one point, there's so many things, but the thing I learned, like my mother passed away, my brother passed away, and then I am raising my brother's children.
Oh, wow.
So I learned that I needed to get up, like the oldest had to be at school at 6 a.m. I've never been a morning person in my life, ever. Hmm. And what I learned was I needed this extra hour in the morning to sort of sort my thoughts and just figure out how to
yourself.
Do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the children are with their mother more. So, and the eldest is off in school, and she's actually here with me now. So this is really great. But I am figuring out that next bit of being really focused and structured so that I can write this book, so that I can do all the things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a lot of theater projects, which is how I
ended up with the piano lesson.
Yes, I'm working on, which was great. Greg Daniels, Jeff Gardner, I mean, and the rest of the staff, Lene, our amazing stage manager, and of course the cast. I don't know if you've seen it yet. If you haven't, go check it out. This is the last week. It's incredible. I mean, it's August Wilson, so it's already incredible. But this particular cast is amazing. Gerald Rivers, this man was like, okay, I don't play piano at all, but I want to play it for the role. And I was like,
what?
So I wound up, teaching him how to play for the role. He's incredible.
Now, let me just stop you for a second and roll it back, girlfriend.
Yes.
You said that you are a music, you not only are you a multi-talented individual writer, singer, performer, the whole gamut. Come on, people. The woman said that she not only does things for herself, she then turns around and shares her humanity by sharing her musical therapy background and trauma with parents, with families. Can you speak a little bit more about how that helps you to rediscover and readjust your own level of talent when you have to go back in and you're back with yourself? I'm back to me being a singer, being a writer, being a performer. Tell us.
Listen, I'm figuring it all out, but I tell you, like, working in a hospital, I work at a community hospital in San Bernardino, and this is the place where both my mother and my brother were. And the staff, they were just incredibly amazing. The nurses, the doctors, everyone there was just amazing. Mm. And the minister there at the church had asked me, I would go in and play for my mom while she was in. And she said, would you come and play for our patients? And I was like, sure. She had asked me to come play for this grief group. Mm-hmm. My mother passed away. I was playing for the grief group for about 2 years and realized that I was getting the therapy I needed. Like, I think that I'm giving therapy, but I was actually getting the therapy. So that's how I started doing this. And I absolutely love it. Like, I get called in sometimes when people are transitioning. And for me to sit in a room with somebody and watch their spirit just leave this plane.
Leave the body.
It's incredible. I mean, I love the work. I actually, when I came to Fisk, I was a pre-med major. I was biology. That's what I got my degree in.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, my mother's plan for me was to be this doctor and go to Meharry and all this. And of course I was like, but I'm a musician. This is what I do. But, you know, the irony is that I spend a lot of time in the hospital daily, you know, with people.
How do you blend the natural, your natural creative tendency to create and then be on call in service to the world? You know, we're in service, especially people of a spiritual nature. We're always in service. You're in service. You know, so how do you serve humanity? How do you serve that and still keep your own curriculum? And I know you said you're figuring it out, but there's got to be some structure going on just to be able to do all of that.
There is, you know, it's sort of, okay. So my whole life I've been working as a musician. I mean, I lived in New York for 20 years. Playing music and everything is just sort of shows up when it's supposed to, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm in a new phase of my life where it's about really about focused healing. I think because before it was definitely about healing because the arts are about healing, but now it's more of a focused, and I'm still learning. I'm interested in doing, being a death doula, you know, to help people transition and to help families really come together towards the end of life for people so that it's just an easier thing. I mean, we come together for births and we do showers and we do all these things and kids see it and it comes to death and you're just there by yourself.
We're all so afraid of death and dying. I'm going to tell you from personal experience and being a mature woman and a person, if you live a good life, you really don't have anything to be afraid of death. Death is going to come whether you want to do it or not. So get used to it, put it in the back of your mind, and then just live the best life that you can live. But you're running around doing dirt and you know you're not doing good. And like my mother used to say, everybody knows right from wrong. Nobody needs to tell you right. You know you're doing wrong. You're conscious.
No.
Then you probably are afraid. But I will tell you that people that are living right, I don't mean perfect. I mean doing your best, doing the best thing you know, doing what you know you're supposed to do. No need to worry about death and dying. Death will come. I always tell death, I love what Will Smith said in Hitch when he said, if you're going to cheat on somebody, cheat on death. I love that. Cheat death, you know.
Yeah. I mean, my dad always used to say, he said two things. Nobody gets out alive.
That's right. That's nobody gets and off he the would board. Say,
everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Isn't that? And we always go through these small transitions and transformations that appear to be death-like. I know I've gone through a few that I thought I was going to die, but I lived through it. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you can have that same story. Mm-hmm. But back to what you were saying about being a doula, and then how do you bring that into your being the musical director and the composer for the piano lesson? How did that come to be that you chose them and they chose you? You could have said no, you know, whatever.
So, you know what? I say yes to 99.9% of things that come to me. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like they, and sometimes I've been like, I remember I was in New York and I turned down a gig because they were looking for somebody to play lute. And I was like, I don't play lute. And my best friend was like, yes, but you could.
Okay.
He was like, say yes to everything. Don't ever say no and figure it out. And so that is how I have lived my life, just say yes, because I feel like the things that come to you are the things that are supposed to come to you.
I think so.
And then it's up to you to say yes or no. I mean, these lessons that we get every day, I mean, because if I say no now, it's going to show up down the line again. So why not just say yes and figure it out and have the experience of being human and living through this moment? I think we get so afraid as humans to say yes and maybe fail and not do as well as we want to, but there's always the lesson. And if you're willing to get that lesson and sit with that and be comfortable, that's to me, that's everything. I mean, that's what life is really about, you know, and people make mistakes. We all make mistakes. I mean, I've done stuff where I was like, wow, I probably
God
shouldn't
the world
do this.
That I did.
What was I thinking, right? Like, but you know, you get caught up in the moment, but I'd rather have that than get to the end of my life and be like, damn,
I wish I had,
mm-hmm. you know, done whatever. And, you know, I mean, these things happen and it's like you say yes. And I'm like, I'm not really sure what I'm saying yes to. But then, you know, a couple months ago, I wound up saying yes and being in South Africa over my birthday and driving from this. Yeah. I mean,
we got to talk about South Africa. That's one of the places I want to go. You know what I wanted to ask you is that when you all of the instruments that you play, because I know you're a multi-instrumentalist. When all of those instruments, who were your mentors? I know you've opened for Nona Hendrix. You've opened for, well, I think Michelle and Dago. I don't care what y'all brothers out there say, you men out there to play the bass. Michelle and Dago Cello is one of the baddest bass players I've ever heard. She can go lick the lick with any of y'all. Tell me she's not. She's bad and so overlooked, and I don't know why. It could be her. Maybe she doesn't want to step all the way out. Or it could be people around her, whatever. But all I know is that that girl is... I remember hearing her voice at the Whiskey here in L.A. when she first came out. And me and my friend, we looked at each other and said, girl, if you didn't know there was... You know, it was like they had... all. It was totally dark in the club and they just heard... You just heard her voice. I was like, I'm in love.
So it's crazy.
Love.
I met her at Howard in a practice room.
Wow.
Back when she was Michelle Johnson. And I this was like years before. And then I moved to New York and my best friend that I was telling you about, Bill Tolles, was managing her at the time. And so I got to hang out with her and meet her. And she's such a humble, she's incredibly humble. Incredibly gifted.
Soft-spoken.
And it's like, she told me one time, she's like, oh my God, I just love what you do. It's so, and I was like, girl, have you heard yourself?
No.
Do you what?
Oh, I don't
get out of here.
Oh my God.
That madness. Like, it was just so crazy. But so like with instruments, I started playing piano when I was 2.5. So I always played piano. I never thought I would be able to do anything.
Were your parents musicians or any, but how did that inspire you to do that?
Yeah. So my dad was a saxophone player and he, when he was living in Mississippi, as I told you, he toured a lot. And so, you know, he was a player. He and my mom went to Tougaloo College in Mississippi together.
Tougaloo.
They got married late. Like they, you know, they did their own thing. My mom went and got her, you know, her degree and she was teaching in his hometown. He had been off in Europe being a musician. He came home and they met in January again. And then they married in August.
That's karmic.
It totally is. And so then I was born on their fifth anniversary. So growing up, there was always a piano in the house. My dad used to practice, and he gave up being a musician so he could be a husband and a father. And he was really great at both. And, you know, my mother was, she did not want me to be a musician. And now I understand, because it's hard, especially for a woman.
It's hard, yeah.
And so she discouraged me from that. She was like, no, you're going to go to med school. You're going to marry a doctor. You're going to have 2.5 kids. And, you know. But here we are, you know, and I'm in a hospital doing music therapy. So it's you know, I think everybody kind of got their wish. And I didn't think I could play an instrument. And then, you know, when I turned 40, I had been in this relationship. And my best friend, again, I had this horrible breakup. And he was like, let's go get you a guitar. And I was like, no, I don't think I can play a guitar. And he was like, no. Let's. So we go get this guitar. And he did a lesson with me, and he sent me home with all this stuff to do. And then I came back, and he was like, did you practice? And I was like, well, sort of. I mean, I wrote like 3 songs, and I played the songs. He was like, just go away. Go. He's like, anybody will only get in your way. He's like, I can only get in your way. And once I learned that I could play other things and do other things, then I did other things. So, you know, now I play bass, and I play a little bit of cello, and I have played viola, and, you know, I do some percussion stuff too. So it's constantly changing and evolving and saying yes and trusting the universe and saying, okay, well, what's next? What are we doing? And then these projects come up. Like, I met Greg Daniel.
I love Greg with a double G.
Fabulous ass Greg. So I met him during the pandemic. I got a call from him. He's like, hey, we're doing these vignettes online. Can you put music in between? And I was like, sure. Which made me sit in my studio and learn how to work and record and do things. Mm-hmm. And then he introduced me to Jeff Gardner, who is our incredible sound designer.
Wow.
And I got to work with him, and we did 7 guitars. So we've done 2. We've done 7 guitars, and also this one, the piano lesson. And working with the two of them is just amazing. I've learned so much. And the work is always good. I mean, it's August Wilson, so you can't fail with that. And you got an amazing director.
I've seen, you know, when he did it in New York, and, you know, I've seen it in a lot of different places, and it always is intriguing as to how it's redone and rethought and your mindset and what it does to you. I mean, when I originally, you know, saw it and heard of August Wilson, I was like older already. I wasn't like some young, you know, hip, oh, yeah, I know who August Wilson is, and I who know all the black. I didn't know anything about any of those people, because when everybody in my circle was going to hang out with, you know, in theater and all that, I was doing metaphysical work. I was training to do metaphysics. Like, I was doing a lot of, you know, discovery. I was in a Don Juan Carlos Castaneda and popping acid and stuff like that. I'm not afraid to tell people what my background is. And it really opened my mind, and it really expanded who I thought I was. And it took me outside of the box. It took me out of a box. And once I got outside of a box, once you get outside of a box, you cannot go back in a box. How are you going to go back in a box and you got out of a box? How?
And so those books, those teachings show up when you're ready, right? It shows up when you're ready. And then it becomes part of your art and part of who you are and part of what you teach the world to be, right? Because I mean, as artists, we are constantly teaching, we're constantly showing, right? And even if it's just about faith, because every day you get up and you have your art and you're able to practice that and show people, right? I mean, there's a lot of faith that goes into being an artist, because sometimes you have money
and sometimes you don't. And then you're being compelled. I know when I do what I'm, even now, I feel compelled to do it. Even if I didn't want to do it, I have to. It's like some saying, go do it. Like something's nudging you. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. I mean, for people that are called, whatever that means, for you people out there, I am going to tell you, my whole life, I've heard something in my voice saying, do this. Something in my head, do this. I'm sure my retreat, you've heard the same thing. When you sit down and compose, let them know how it feels when you're composing. You're not even yourself. If something happens, maybe you can explain it, because I can't.
I wish I could. I mean, and you know, people often ask what my process is. My process is I sit down and it's almost like the universe or God or whatever you want to call it dictates these songs, right? And they come through and it's whatever I've gone through in the moment, you know, but it's funny because now I realize songs that I wrote back in the day that I had no understanding what they were about or what, and then the thing is happening now and I'm like, oh, this is what that song was about. This is where this came from and this is what this means. So it almost feels like it's out there and it's already been composed. It's just like, I think it chooses you too. And I think you, again, it's all about saying yes and just being in the moment and having the faith to go, okay, I can do this. And I mean, so many of us get caught up in this, you know, backseat hater thing where, you know, it's the voice telling you, are you good enough? You're not good enough. What do you think? How dare you think that you could do this? How dare you think that you can
communicate? Yeah, those external voices.
But we all can.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we get so caught up in like, you know, oh God, I have to be in this religion or I have to do this or be in this group so that it makes sense. And people are afraid to commune by themselves. I find that I have to be quiet and still in order for things to.
Oh man, I got into worlds of trouble when I decided to step outside of the box and stop listening to people define who I'm supposed to be and what they think I'm supposed to be and looking at me from the outside, don't know anything about you as a person, judging things based on clothes, face, whatever, and not really knowing anybody internally. And like I said, when I started off, there is nothing we can do outside to change the external world. All of our work is internal. All of our work is internal. That's where all the work goes on. But going back to when you work with your, in your bio, it mentions that you are a sound healer and music is sound. So when you do music and you sound healing and all of you on the set of piano lessons and the vibe is going, what happens? I mean, how is it working with the other, with the cast and getting the director? What happens?
I am now also working with sound bowls. And I mean, I went to Sound Bass a couple of years ago. I started going.
Those are fun, huh? Yeah.
It's amazing. And so now, you know, I have some bowls and I've been doing that with some of the kids at the hospital who are on the trigs. So, but you know what? It's funny that you say that because you're right. I think the healing is going on, even though it's just, you know, showing somebody how to do it, but those tones and, you know, there's a beautiful piano on stage during the show. It's absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
And there's something about those notes and the way that they sit and resonate in your body and those vibrations, you know, when you think about your chakras and clearing your chakras out, that's what those notes are, right? And it becomes so very clear, you know, that's what's going on, whether you're consciously doing it or not, because I don't consciously think about it most of the time unless I'm going to do a sound bath specifically, but I do think that there is a healing that happens. Like,
and
I
it's
mean,
a part of you. It's a part of you as a person. So whatever, whoever comes into your space or into your energetic field, they're going to pick up that part of you. Just like I did when I heard your name, I'm like, I feel her already. I felt you. I felt your energy feel before I saw your face. I could feel you once they said your name. I'm like, okay, I can feel her. And then to see you, it's like you're the beautiful thing that I felt. I mean, come on now.
And I think, you know what? I think we have, just like I was talking about death earlier and how we've forgotten that this is a part of life, that it's part of the cycle.
That's right.
It's the completion of one cycle and the beginning of the next. We forget that, but I think we also forget, because we get so caught up in looks and what something looks like, we forget what it feels like and what people feel like. Because, you know, when you walk in a room, or even today, like I was like, oh, this is somebody that I'm really going to like. And when I was talking to my Isha, she's like, yo, she sounds great. Like, I love her already. And I was like, I know, me too. This is great. But you feel people even when they're out somewhere else. And when you think about how we meet each other, you know, billions of people on the planet. And I'm sitting here with you in a studio. We've never seen each other face to face.
And just found each other. Our spirits found each other. Yeah.
How
it happens.
I mean, there's got to be something more. There's just got to be something more that drives us to each other so that we find each other and have these beautiful moments that remind us of our humanity, but also our spirit and who we are.
And so when you're doing, during the day, when you do, I know piano lessons now, you guys are over on the 11th, is that correct?
Yeah.
The 11th is the last day. So whoever out there have not seen this or has not seen, you know, the performance and the piano lesson, please go support. You guys, please go support your local theaters. I was telling someone last week that was over here from Imagine Theater how people live in the community and won't even walk around the corner and go to your own theater. You should be ashamed of yourself. And I mean that. You know, the 45% of the brain that they say we don't use, that's the part I use. Those are the parts that people that are creative and doing other things and stepping outside of the box, that's the part of the brain we're tapping into, that part of the brain. So if that part of the brain isn't stimulated some kind of way, you maybe need to go get some work done on yourself or something, that you can't even feel the energy of supporting a local venue that's right in your energetic space like that. You know, we should all feel ashamed that somebody has to come from the outside. Yeah, come on now. Come on, Marie.
And I was in New York a couple weeks ago working at Harlem Stage. The joy I got out of walking 15 minutes to work at the theater, right? And I'm like, this is amazing.
Was the weather pleasant?
It was fall. It's fall.
Okay. Oh, so you mean now? Like that, uh-huh. Yeah.
It was like that beautiful, crisp October. You know, and that's what I miss about New York, just being outside and walking and seeing the seasons change and seeing art every day, right? And that's what I realized living in California. And I mean, where I am, there was not a lot going on. And then the pandemic happened and there really wasn't anything going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody called and was like, listen, can you come on and just talk and tell people that it's going to be okay? And I was like, really?
Wow. What did you do? What were you called to do?
So I went on from my bed because I had just left a show in New York that had been canceled. You know, didn't know where the money was going to come from. Didn't know how I was going to take care of anything. Mm-hmm. The kids, my brother, the house, any of that. And I got on that morning from my bed. I had my glasses on. I had a scarf on. I was like, yo, listen, whatever this is, it's going to pass because everything does, right? Everything, things shift, things change. I didn't know it was going to be 3 years later. Right. And I also didn't know that a couple of weeks later, I would be playing an hour of music daily because I could from my house, which just walking downstairs and playing music live for people and having friends that I hadn't seen since grade school.
Oh, my God.
Come on and hang out, you know, and I can see people scrolling. And so people are talking to me. I'm talking to them. I'm in my living room. The kids, they watched the children grow up. You know, over 3 years. I mean, the youngest one is now 12. Okay. So she was like, you know, 8 or 9.
She's
and just,
baby.
You know, super cute. Mm-hmm. The 15-year-old, you know, they would come on and they would sing. And it was just joyful, right? Mm-hmm. Which is another thing that I think we forget about, just being joyful.
You
not
feel joy.
So
what was Arsenio Hall saying? Come on, feel joy.
Yes.
Just get up in the morning. I was doing that this morning. I started thinking about Quincy Jones. I thought about talking to you and the wonderful way that people that sing. I thought about you brought something special, like with Patty Austin singing. And I mean, like, how can people not love? Oh, my God. It's like something happened to me. I was like, yes. And I wasn't talking about a man or nothing like that. I was talking about just getting up in the sun shining on your face.
Yes.
How it's so special. I felt so, you know what I mean, my retreat. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
It's a gift, right? Getting up in the morning and breathing is a gift. Being able to walk to the bathroom by yourself. There are a lot of people who can't do that right now. And then you go outside and you feel the sun on your face.
Oh, my God.
And your body's functioning and you're healthy. And I mean,
and it's when you feel all inside of yourself and you feel sexy and sensual.
Yes,
not because something going on. Just your spirit just feels so joy and happy and everything.
Good.
It's just,
it feels good.
You got to feel it, people. It's like magic. I can't really explain. So when you are working with everyone, and then I know your run is going to end November 11th. What are you going to be doing after that? I know you mentioned that you're going to be, you have a book in mind if you have not done it already. Talk a little bit about that, baby girls.
I'm working on it. It's
what
it's
is
really
the book about? Is it music? You're healing more? What aspect?
No, it's about, you know, the hilarity of me being a musician in New York, you know, no husband, no kids, coming home to take care of my brother and three girls, right? And then him passing and like the
when did he pass?
It's been 3 years, which is
so it's still fairly new, yeah.
It's still new, you know, it's still new, yeah. But like in you know, the baby mama is a challenge for me. Like she is the only person in my life that I am challenged by. Like I am surrounded by such wonderful people all of the time and I don't understand her.
You need a little grit. All. You need a little grit to grow, you know. Just a little
bit. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I keep saying, well, I'm not sure why we're doing this, but I'm doing it, you know, and just really trying to do the best for them because it really is about our kids and what we like, we owe them a future because like I look at my parents and they gave me this incredible, incredible life. You know, I yes. grew up with a dad who was like, no, you can do anything you want.
That's
you
why my dad was like that. Uh-huh. Yes.
You know, and yes. he's like, okay, so you're a girl. So what? Let me teach you how to throw a football. Let me teach you how to throw a baseball. You know, let me teach you what you need to do if some dude gets in your face, mm-hmm. right? Let me teach you how to make your own money.
That's right.
So you can make a decision if you want to be with somebody or not.
Did you grow up with brothers?
I had one brother, and he's younger than I am. So I was the oldest and the girl.
Okay.
And also, you know, my dad, we shared this love of music. Like I was telling somebody yesterday, a lot of the music that I learned was driving to school with him or driving to my piano lessons, just the two of us, mm-hmm. you know, talking in the morning and having these really incredible talks. And then doing the same with my girls and driving them to school and having these incredible talks and listening to this music that's not their generation of music. And then, you know, sometimes listening to what they're listening to as well. But I mean, I look at the life that my parents gave me and I wanted to pass that on.
What do you think about the future of music? I mean, everybody seems to have gone to TV. I never knew. I mean, I don't know how I want to say, but I don't think music is gone, but it seems that there's a lot of focus on TV more than music. Why do you think that is?
I think people are very visual by nature. And I also think that the music business has gotten, it's so difficult to make a living. And I think a lot of people have given up. And then there are some of us who are just like, yeah, this is what I do. This is what I have to do. This is what I was put here to do. And I feel like we're provided for because we do what we're put here for. But it's gotten certainly much harder. Like I haven't lived in New York in about eight years full time. And it was starting to get even difficult back then. Like the gigs were starting to dry up. But I think music is still within people, right? I think, but sometimes people don't grow up with an instrument in the home, so they're not exposed to it. But people know how to do GarageBand. Like the kids know how to do GarageBand. They know how to buy beats. They know how to do these sorts of things and then record it. And now it's such that you can record in your house if you want to.
And I think people are going back to that organic way of doing things. Like my dad, I was telling somebody, get a scrub board and some forks and start beating on them and going, you know, do some things that they used to do. You just can't throw everything away. Just like, oh, we just don't need nothing from the past. Some of those things were very valuable and extremely, extremely creative at the time. And then when you hear, as you said, you are a music, you have that aspect of your personality that's also a music therapist, so you know how therapeutic music is. And I think that without music, I think we should just roll up the planet and die, because I'm telling you, if they get rid of music and anything creative, it's you're just living in a purely materialistic world, and that's very extremely dangerous. It's dangerous. It doesn't feed the human spirit. It does nothing for the spirit, and none of that stuff we can take with us. People are fighting, killing people, lying, cheating, stealing, trying to do something impossible to do and how to get money rather than simply go inside of yourself and pray. Call upon your higher self and pray. I mean, but they don't want to do that, but they want everything to just like it's coming up magical. And that's what I find to be interesting. And so I think that you are part of what we need in, you know, this time period to be able to help keep those kind of things alive. What do you think?
I do. I think that I am here for that reason. I think that, like with the pandemic, and even last night, so I did a pop-up show last night. I wasn't planning to work this week.
May I ask?
In Nashville from my, I'm staying in my friend's home.
Oh, you're in that? Yeah. So you did the pop-up show. Not
here. She's off at the beach being fabulous. But last night, so like around 4 o'clock, I thought, you know what? I should do a show tonight because people are hurting. People are sad. I'm looking at Facebook. I'm doom scrolling. And I'm like, you know what? Let me pull this together. And so I called Maisha and I said, hey girl, can you do a flyer for me? Can you? And she's like, yeah, I got you. She was like, I was about to call you and see if you would do a show tonight because we're all jacked up over here. So then I called another friend here and I was like, hey, can I get some sound equipment? He was like, yeah, I got you. So I went and picked up gear and, you know, I have my guitar here. I picked up a keyboard and some sound and did my show at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And, you know, people were on. People were definitely in need. So I feel like I'm probably going to be going back to more shows a week because I cut back to just like 2 shows a week. And I missed it. I miss playing every night. I miss seeing everybody every night because it's sort of like having a piano bar.
Yeah, do you feel I was girl, you are intuitive. I was just thinking in my head, the old Palomino bar, I forget what it was called, where they had straw on the floor. You walk in the door, it's just straw. Hay everywhere. And you go in there and it was standing room only. I think that may be what we're rolling back to is more intimate settings, the way it used to be before the big boys got in on it and start seeing all the money coming in. Where you go to your little local bar, local club, it's all kind of good talent sitting there like the baked potato people. Go over there and the all kind of good talent.
Potato.
You got standing room only, hitting, come on now, $25 a head with 400 people. There's some money. There's some money. Come on.
So, you know, it's like, look, you can go see Beyonce and you can pay all this money, right? And there's, listen, I'm not going to ever knock Beyonce. Her hustle is incredible, right?
I love her.
She doesn't
Me
too.
I am not.
Right? It doesn't necessarily speak to the spiritual side of what I need. But if I want to dance and I want to feel good, then I'm doing that. But there's so many good local artists. Like if you go to any of your local dive bars,
they're undiscovered. That's the only reason.
So, right. That's somebody's there because, you know, we have this thing where, you know, well, we can't like somebody unless somebody else that we think is fabulous likes them.
Oh wow. Hmm.
And I'm like, come on, go try it out, go check it out. I guarantee you. And every once in a while, you know, I'll hear somebody sing and I'll just be so moved by whatever it is they're saying, and then I'm reminded, oh yeah, people are still doing music, people are still painting, even with the AI, even with the auto-tune, people are still
you can't replace moved. It's human. Unless you take a spirit out of the human person, there is no way on this world they can get all the technically advanced they want to. The human mind, the only reason that all of these things are happening is because we don't use the full extent of our human mind. Tell me I'm lying. If we used the other 45%, did you see the movie Lucy? I draw from movies a lot. The movie Lucy where Morgan Freeman was on there and he said when she got up to even 25%, it was off the chain, let alone only 50%. Just think of why are we not using the rest of our brain? What is wrong with us? Certainly religion hasn't helped us tap into it. Certainly whatever else we called ourselves, drugs or whatever, to some degree, you know, they have tapped into it, but they're dangerous. So how do you get there? Anybody know? How do you get there? Marichuy, how do you get there?
I think you get there by being still and by focusing inward. We're so externally focused all the time. I don't know how many days I've sat there. I'm a little embarrassed. And, you know, on Facebook, just scrolling until I'm like completely frantic and stressed out. And it's like, yeah, but ma'am, you play the piano. You could go and you could do anything. You could go write a song right now.
And go in the bathroom and start doodling. That's what I do sometimes. Go in there and think of something.
I always think about, like, you know, how our breaths are numbered, how our heartbeats are numbered, right? We only get a certain amount. And I was telling somebody yesterday that I don't want to waste my time not doing what I was put here to do, not loving somebody and telling them, hey, listen,
I love you. I love you. I'm not scared to say I love you. I love you. That's what I'm saying.
You know, why waste your time? I feel like we are so distracted.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like, you know, when the power goes out, that's when you become your real self. You start to be crazy and you're like, well, what am I going to do? I have nothing to do. Am I just going to sleep all day? It's like, no, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to breathe. Maybe I could go to the beach, put my feet in some sand. Maybe I could write. Maybe I could make some music. But I just think we are so distracted.
Caught up.
And our kids are, you know, bored, which when they say they're bored, I'm like, you better go read something.
Bored.
Or do something. Go do something.
Sometimes I hate going to bed because it's so much to do. I'm like, look, do I have to go to sleep? I know I've been up since four
That's
already.
How I am. That's how
do
I'm
I have to go
I'm
to
like
bed? I mean, so much going on.
You know, they're like I, you know, just, I was going to an acupuncturist for a while. He was like,
yes,
listen.
I love acupuncture.
He was like, you got to sleep.
Yeah.
You have to just sometimes lay down and sleep. Mm. You can't. He's like, you got to sleep. You got to get outside every day in the sunshine. You have to drink water. You have to eat clean food. And you have to do some sort of meditation.
Get some vitamin D, people. I don't mean the other D. I mean vitamin D, actually, from the sun. You know, that kind of stuff that will be healthy for you.
Seriously.
So my Go ahead. No, you go.
You go ahead.
You go.
So I was going to say, if you've checked out the Blue Zones.
Yes. I love that. National Geo did a great job on those areas. I know Loma Linda is one of those areas in California. I think that was the only area we had here was a blue zone.
15 minutes from my house, you know, and I go over there to get my water because I, you know, do the alkaline water thing, and the grocery stores over there are great. And it's all about community, right? We've lost our sense of community. We're all separated, you know, through politics or whatever, and we don't have a common cause, which we do because it's our humanity. And that's what we should be focused on. You know, rather than these other distractions.
Well, you know, with people like yourself, myself, and others that I know of on this planet, you know, we've got to just do our best to stick together. We are in a spiritual war, people. There's times that everybody has to, you know, you got to find the middle way. You know, it's neither right or wrong, because depending on life situations, dictate as to what might be right in a particular situation, what might be wrong, depending on the situation, of course, our own intention. But we're in a war, and the war is an internal war. Where do you stand as a person?
Yeah.
Are you willing to do anything for money, anything, kill yourself, kill somebody, or whatever to do? I'm telling you, if the technique, as Marichi says, using music and sound and healing and our humanity truly is effective, and I am here to tell you that it is, going within will produce anything that you need to get done. The universe is so, I say multiverse because it's just, the universe is too small, in my opinion, to say uni. It's multi, and, you know, it's so many facets of it we still don't understand. But if we simply get in rhythm with the rhythm of life, you know, with the Myoho aspect of life, I will say the opening of life, the calling of life, and hear the rhythm that you can hear, like Marichi says, when we're still and quiet, then everything will be taken care of. But we think we're supposed to get things when they're supposed to happen. I know if some of the things that I wanted, Marichi, had come when I wanted it, I would have been so unprepared. That's why they say be patient. Because I'd have been unprepared. I wouldn't have been able to handle it.
Oh, my God. I think of the people that I've dated and been like, oh, my God.
I'm so happy.
I need to work out. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm so grateful.
Aren't you happy?
Because it would have stunted my growth, right? I think you just want to constantly move forward and upward and be better. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like I'm not in competition with anybody except myself.
Except yourself. That's how I feel, Why would you be? I don't know, you know, what somebody's... Mitchell, that's silly to me. It's a waste of human... It's a waste of life force, you know, to be in competition with anyone but yourself. And even with yourself, you have to lie some kind of... compassion and things at times, because we're not perfect and we all have our own growing cycle, and some people grow at this pace and some people don't, and, you know, this kind of thing. But I do know one thing, that when you are being called to do anything, your little booty will get up and do it. You won't be able to sit still. You will be on fire inside, which leads me into...
Sometimes we stay places too long.
I know I do. And I have to get kicked out. Something happened to move me forward. Like, look, man, you know this is not what you need, girlfriend. You've already done this. I'm like, this is high school work.
You know that it's time to move on, but I think there's fear, and we get very comfortable in these spaces. And it's always a little scary to step out of the box, right? Okay. But then you look back and you're like, what was I thinking?
I know.
That person didn't even deserve me. I had completely outgrown them. And I want to grow more.
You know,
and grow more into myself, right?
I know this. But listen, we are close to getting up out of here. I want you to belt out something. Give us 30 seconds. I got to hear your voice just to heal. Just this morning when I got up with some things on my mind, and I knew I would be talking to you and seeing you, and I just felt so, you know, excited to get some of that essence you have. So can you heal a bit?
Here's to the warriors, the wanderers, the philosophers.
No.
The pray in deep silence for peace and abundance for people that live in the dark. Here's to the screamers, quiet dreamers, the ones who will fight for the truth, the ones who remember and cherish their youth, ones who had a bad day but open the door anyway and smile as they do. This one's for you, the mad ones, the dreamers too. Lean into love. Begin to love. Love will continue if you just remember to fight for the things that bring joy and contentment. Kill the resentment. Lay down your gun. Surrender. Arm yourselves for the fight of your life.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. Oh, we have to boogie. I need you to give out shout out to Hygieia Wellness Center out there in Los Angeles County. Dr. Robert Schwartz and staff over there, Jenny. They are wonderful. Such good people. They got good hearts, and they touch your body in ways that help to heal it. So I would suggest you boogie on over there, Hygieia Wellness Center. So, and I wanted to also get my retreat to give her social media tech shout out. We got a few minutes. I want you to shout those out real quick. Go.
Okay. So it's Maritri Garrett, M-A-R-I-T-R-I. My last name is Garrett. It's also Maritri Music everywhere else. So it's Maritri Garrett on Facebook. I have a Maritri Music page, but I do my stuff from Maritri Garrett. And then on Insta, TikTok, Twitter, X, whatever. Everything else is MaritriMusic.com.
Snapchat, all of them.
Yeah, all of that. So please come on. I'm on all streaming. My band is The Soul Folk Experience. I have some solo stuff on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, wherever.
All right. Well, check it out. Check it out. We got like 1 second. Don't forget to like, love, and subscribe to our YouTubes, our IGs. We need numbers and help out here just like you people do. Yeah, so don't forget to support. I'm definitely going to support you. Support us. And that is another 15 minutes of show. Thank you, Maritri. Thank your reps for having you into studio. Girl, I loved every minute of it. I feel so full inside. I'm full of joy. I can't even help myself. You know what I mean? So we will see you next week, people. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye, Maritri.
15 minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.